ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us right now is Tom Shad. Tom covers the team for the Washington Post. You can follow him on X, on Twitter, at Tom_Shad, S-C-H-A-D. He's been in town for a few months now. We had him on the show a few months ago before the season started. So I'm going to start with a question that I asked callers on the show yesterday. Is the season salvageable? And by salvageable, I mean make the playoffs or at least, at the very least, go to the final week of the season needing a win to get into the postseason.
Sure. I mean, I think I'll view that question in a very logical kind of statistical way and say, yeah, it is salvageable. And I think, you know, one of the interesting things about how the season has unfolded so far is that it's gone really contrary to what the expectation was. I think, you know, everybody thought that this upcoming stretch was going to be a really difficult one, and it still is, but that the Commanders would be at a different spot, you know, like right. They would have a whatever 5-2 record at this point as opposed to being 3-4. That said, there's still, I mean, 10 games left. There's a long way to go, and we've seen so much parity across the league so far this year. So, I mean, maybe it's a little bit rose-colored glasses, but sure. I mean, I think it is salvageable. I think you do have to get at least one win in this stretch, though, these next couple games. And if you don't, then I think you reach a point where, yeah, even though on you know, on paper the stats might say you have a 5% chance or whatever, I think it's basically a wrap.
You know, it's so I agree with you. We both watched a lot of NFL, and this league changes so quickly on a dime. It's so week to week. But I was thinking about it, Tom, from this perspective after the show yesterday. I was like, if I were in another market, you know, doing an NFL segment, and we were doing, you know, who's alive and who isn't, and Washington's name came up, I would say, of course they're alive. They've got Jaden Daniels, a quarterback. And that's the way I view it. Now, he's got to be healthy. He's got to play for them to do it. But we saw him strap the team to his back a year ago, and they won 12 regular season games. They're not going to win 12 this year, more likely than not. I was trying to be as objective as I could be, like looking at it as an NFL segment from, you know, Chicago. And I would say, yeah, of course. But I do feel the fan sentiment right now, which is the season's in peril. If the season did go south and it wasn't because Jaden missed a lot of games, what would the reason be?
I mean, I think, and this is kind of a boring answer, and maybe a cop out, but the injuries are just so devastating and piling up, and the fact that they've lost so many, not just starters, but really like linchpin guys through the first 7 weeks, and Dorrance Armstrong is just the latest example.
Yeah.
I think that's like, you know, if you look back on this season and things don't work out, it'll be easy to kind of chalk it up to to injuries. I mean, beyond that, I think you're just looking at a team that, again, if things kind of continue trending in the wrong direction, it's just a little bit of pressing, I think. You know, you start to see, like, and again, it all kind of plays back to the expectations coming in and how well they did last year. You know, when things start slipping, I think everybody is just trying to do a little bit more to make that big play and, you know, try to win like three games on one play. And you see that kind of across the board on defense. Joe Witt has called it, you know, guys trying to put capes on or whatever. That's where a lot of the issues, I think, have come up there. And then on the offensive side too, you know, we've seen Jaden or even Marcus Mariota, you know, and coming into the game last week, just try to do a little bit too much to make that big play. And so
that's such a smart observation, because I think sometimes, like, I'll give you an example in-game, because I think there's an in-game context where pressure builds and a season context. Like, in the game, if Jaden doesn't get hurt and they go down, they finish that drive and it's 27-22, the game context changes. And we see that in a lot of games, right? You know, scores that get sideways, but really, it wasn't that kind of a game. And in season, you lose a third straight on Monday night, you still may have the capability of turning it around, but man, does the pressure get ratcheted up and the context around that next game against Seattle. By the way, Seattle coming off a bye week, Washington on a short week heading into that Sunday night game. It's like all of a sudden you got to win that game, and it just changes the context of it. We're talking to Tom Shad from the Washington Post. So, you know, defensively, they're a mess right now. Dan Quinn pushed off with you guys on Monday, pushed off the conversation about, you know, everything being in play. We're going to look at everything being on the table. What do you think he's going to tell all of you when he meets with you on his next opportunity, media-wise, on Thursday, when you guys ask him, you know, so you looked into it, you dug into it. What are you going to do about the defense? What's he going to say?
If I had to guess, his answer will be something about fundamentals and getting back to basics. And you know, truth be told, I don't think that's a terrible answer or approach. You know, I think the knee-jerk reaction from fans is to blow everything up. You know, they want to see, like, Joe Witt gone, or they want to see some new, you know, exotic kind of blitz package. But, like, so many of their issues just come down to, like, guys not doing what they're supposed to do, which, again, is very boring. And on some plays, it's just like one person or two people who appear to be, you know, out of position or missing a tackle or what have you. So I think, you know, the easiest course of action, like, you can't bring in like a bunch of new defensive linemen, right? You know, you're not going to like trade for, you know, an entirely new defensive line or new corners or, you know, whatever. So I think the best route is basically just to simplify to a certain extent what you're doing. And maybe you pull back a little bit and you just make sure that, you know, if you're going to call like a pretty vanilla defense, that everybody knows 100% what their responsibilities are and they're in the right place 100% of the time. And if you're able to do that, then at least, you know, you limit some of the explosive plays. Ideally, you're in a better position to make some of these tackles and you get the defense. You kind of like stop the bleeding, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering if you thought that would be the answer when after the game he said, unprompted, really, yeah, we're going to look at everything. Everything's on the table now. Because that, I think everybody's ears perked up. He was ticked off, about as ticked off as he can get, as much as I've seen, you know, watching all these press conferences since he got here. You were, I think, in the building, so you saw it too. But I thought, yeah, you know what? Maybe a significant personnel change or two is coming. And certainly, you know, it's not just fan reaction. I've wondered, and I don't think he would do anything with Joe Witt, but maybe something as easy as bringing him down from the booth to be on the sidelines and call plays. We saw that with Zach Robinson for the Washington game with Michael Penix Jr. He came from the booth down to the field. I just wonder if he's contemplating anything related to the coaching staff or anything related to significant personnel changes. And it sounds to me like you think he probably doesn't land there.
That would be my guess. And again, it's more of a guess, really. But I think you were talking about him kind of post-game. I mean, he was peeved. And I think a lot of the, you know, everything being on the table talk, I think part of it, I guess I should say, is a little bit heat of the moment. You know,
sure.
He's got to be just absolutely livid being a defensive-minded head coach. This is, you know, what they want to, like, build their entire team philosophy and identity on, and then you just kind of fall apart for a second consecutive week. So I think some of that was maybe heat of the moment. And then you take a step back, kind of a clear-eyed view, and you go, okay, what can we realistically do here? You know, in terms of him, like, or Joe Witt, you know, coming down to the sidelines or something. I mean, I think one tweak you could see is maybe he's just going to get a little bit more, Dan Quinn, I mean, get a little bit more involved in the defensive conversations. And we did ask about that after the game. He said he's always on the headset. He's always involved, that kind of stuff. I mean, I do think, though, again, as a defensive-minded head coach, you know, how the defense plays is to a certain extent a reflection of his ability and him as a head coach. And so I think you could see him get a little bit more involved maybe in the game planning or maybe on game day in terms of, you know, helping kind of chart what they want to do there.
I asked you if the season was salvageable. Is the defense salvageable at this point?
I mean,
I don't even know what that means, by the way. I'm going to make it up right now. Like, it goes from being truly dreadful at this point to, I don't know, maybe getting a few takeaways here and there and making at least a small contribution to winning in a game.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, I don't think this is a top 10 defense.
well, we know that. Yeah.
I think, yeah. So I think if that's your idea of salvageable, then no. Can it be like a middle of the road defense? Sure. And I think, you know, the turnover piece, to a certain extent, that's got to be bad luck. You know, like, not a lot of teams go 5 of 7 games without forcing a turnover. And so I think, you know, you're going to have some instances where even if the defense doesn't do anything to create a turnover,
there's a random bounce of the ball that goes their way.
Right. And so I think that's going to help. And again, it goes back to what I was talking about earlier with, like, pressing and pressure. Once you, you know, if Pat Mahomes just, like, throws the ball aimlessly to Trey Amos, now suddenly the defense is feeling better about itself because it created a turnover,
right.
even if they didn't do anything specific to do it. So I think you're going to have some of that as the season goes along. And I think you're going to see some stabilization, I would think, in terms of, you know, limiting explosive plays and better tackling. And again, I think they're just really going to harp on, you know, do not allow anybody to run by you, go over the top, whatever. And maybe they'll allow, you know, more stuff underneath. But will it be like a top 10 defense? No, especially with the injuries. I think you can aim for maybe a top, you know, 15 to 20 defense or something, and they can get there as the season goes on.
Yeah, I think that's awfully aspirational. I mean, that's very, very aggressive. But, you know, something you just said is so true, right? It's like every time I think about these games in advance, it's like, you know what? The quarterback's going to put one or two up for grabs. You got to catch it. And if you catch it, you're just going to feel so much better about things. And it's like, oh, my God, we got a takeaway, even if it wasn't forced. Most aren't. You know, most are mistakes by the offense. And it would be nice if they got a couple of those, because it could absolutely change. Because they got to be feeling it right now, confidence-wise. I mean, they are on their heels in every one of these games, and there are very few good plays in a couple of the games here recently. All right, let's flip it to offensively. Do you expect Terry and Debo to play Monday night? And who's going to play quarterback?
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, a lot of things. Terry, to me, is still TBD. I mean, I think the sense last week was that he was getting closer to playing, but given the fact that he hasn't been a full participant in practice yet, it's hard to say until we really get into Thursday or Friday. And my kind of default stance at this point is, you know, let's wait and see until he's actually a participant at practice. So it would not surprise me if he plays, but I also would not expect him to play either. That's just me personally. Debo, I think there is a better expectation that he will be out there. It had been described at one point, I think, as a bruise, like a significant bruise on his heel. So, you know, hopefully with a long period of rest here, that will have healed up some and he can be out there. And then with Jaden, again, a little bit of a cop-out. You know, I know they said good news with the MRI not showing anything long-term, but as we've seen, you know, across the league with other quarterbacks, hamstrings are tricky, man, you know, and you really got to be careful, especially given that it's, you know, the right leg and he's already dealing with something on the left leg. You know, you don't want to be in a situation where he's overcompensating on the one leg
right,
to offset, you know, an injury on the other leg. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's kind of in the same boat as Terry is with me, where it's, you know, let's wait and see if he's actually a full participant at practice. But that's a really, really tricky one, just because if you run it back out there too soon, you risk it being something that lingers into the rest of the season. And then you want to talk about, you know, seasons being salvageable or what, you know, means moving forward. I mean, you could really be in trouble if this is something that doesn't go away for him.
Yeah, agreed. It's not a pain tolerance thing like it was with the rib last year. This is soft tissue and can lead to other things for sure. On Terry, what's the issue? Is it just a really serious quad injury that's just going to, you know, continue to linger? What's going on there?
I have no idea. Yeah, it's I think it's been really difficult to suss out with all the different reports in terms of what exactly the injury is, and then I think it's also important to remember that you're dealing with a guy who hasn't had to deal with a lot of injuries, right? And so, you know, with a soft tissue thing, a lot of it is it's the doctors believing that you're okay to go, but then it's also like, how do you personally feel and what's your level of confidence to push it? And again, talking about pressure, like, you know, I'm sure Terry is you know, would say that he's tuning out all of the discourse around, you know, the contract and what fans are saying and whatever, but you have to believe that is weighing on him a little bit, you know, to be like kind of
the
spotlight. Well, I just mean to be like the spotlight of attention for the bulk of the off season, certainly all of training camp. And then, you know, you finally get your contract situation sorted out and now's the time to go ball out. And then you have something pop up. I mean, I think it's a tough spot to be in, right? I think anybody would be hearing kind of those things that are being said and feel some pressure. And so it's, I think mentally it would be a really tricky spot to be in where, you know, you want to get back out there, but you don't want to go back too soon and work, you know, risk exacerbating the injury, kind of like what I was talking about with Jaden. So, I don't know how much of it is, you know, physical and something that's lingered, mental, a combination, or if it's like specific things that he's having trouble with. I mean, part of the issue here is that he hasn't been available to speak to the media for a month. So there's a lot of just kind of us trying to read tea leaves, I guess, and a lack of clarity there that makes it hard to suss out.
Yeah, I think, you know, you are hinting at something that I think, you know, is in play here. There's a lot going on with this particular injury. And I was actually thinking, and this is probably a bit too, sinister thinking, for the lack of a better description, that after the wide receiver performance on Sunday in Dallas, that, you know, he's got to feel like, okay, you guys see what it looks like without me. I'm coming back Monday night, you know, against Kansas City. Like, when they got thumped the way they got thumped, I thought to myself, I think he's going to be back Monday night. This is the perfect opportunity. Now, it's the wrong opponent, you know, and maybe without Jaden, it's really the wrong opponent. But, you know, point proven in his mind, they're not that anybody needed to say it, they're better with him than without him. And I think he wants to feel that.
Yeah, and I mean, not to get me wrong here, I think he would want to be out as soon as humanly possible. I guess that's kind of the broader point that I was trying to make, is that given everything that happened in training camp, you know, he's probably been itching to come back, but it's this tricky thing, especially with the soft tissue injury of, you know,
right.
when is too soon versus when is the right time.
Yeah. And if he comes back too soon, he's not going to look like himself, and that's going to put more pressure on him because people won't get it, et cetera. Yeah.
Right. So, but yeah, I mean, they certainly need him to your point. As Sunday showed, they certainly need him out there, and he would be a welcome addition if you got him and Debo back. You know, even if Jaden doesn't play, I think you have a shot. You have a fighting chance.
Well, they certainly need one of them back. They can't be without both of them. That's for sure. We're talking to Tom Shad. So, big picture, when you look at it, I think you said they got to get one of the next. Did you say one of the next three?
Yeah, I mean that would be my take.
Yeah, I think somehow, some way, by the time they get to December, they just got to be 6-6. So they've got to get to where they're 3-2 over these next five games. And I think that's in play. I mean, these are difficult offensive teams, with the exception of Miami, to go against a reeling defense right now. But I think 3-2 getting to December at 6-6 versus 5-7 is important, because I'm sure you spent a lot of time with it. It sounds like you do. I mean, the NFC, you're not getting to a wild card spot without 10 wins. Last year, 10 wasn't enough. You know, 11 was the 7 seed with Green Bay. And so the division is where you got to kind of stay in the hunt. You agree?
Yeah. No, totally. I think you just, and again, I view it in part, maybe I've just been doing too much reporting on momentum, but I view it in large part as a mental thing, right? You know, if you're sitting at 5-7 going into December, I think you kind of realize, if you're in that locker room, that it's a long shot, right? As opposed to being 6-6 or 7-5 or whatever, where now you really have something to play for. And the other thing that I would just throw in there too, is I think, you know, we're having this conversation totally in the, you know, we're just talking about Washington, right? We're just thinking about Washington, like, in a vacuum. That's the important thing to think of too, as the season goes along, is that, like, all of this unpredictable stuff that has happened injury wise with Washington could happen to any of these other teams, right? Or you know, these other teams can fall into a funk or whatever. And so that's
no doubt
the other piece, where, like, you look at the schedule now and you're like, oh gosh, they got this Denver game. That's going to be really tough. Well, who knows, you know, where Denver is going to be exactly, injury wise or otherwise, when you get to that game. Right. So, still a long ways to go, but yeah, I mean, I'm with you on the 6-6.
No, you view it the same way I do. I talk about it every year. Looking at an NFL schedule in the off season is ridiculous. You have no idea what those teams will look like. It's not who you play, it's when you play them. And look, they benefited a little bit playing the Chargers, as an example. When they played the Chargers, they were incredibly banged up, you know, along the offensive line. And Dallas benefited from playing Washington Sunday, with Washington having so many players on offense. Out. You're right. Yeah, you could get to Denver and Bo Nix could be out for the year, and they could be on a three-game losing skid, and, you know, all of a sudden you're a 9-point favorite at home. It's just the way the NFL works. One last question for you. Do you expect any activity for this team at the trade deadline, seller or buyer?
Oh, boy, that's a great question.
We've only got one game to play before they hit it.
Yeah. I guess my short answer would be no, at least not in a significant way. And the reason I say that is because I think you're still kind of on this cusp where, you know, the playoffs are a possibility, but certainly not like a sure thing. There's also a possibility that you could be 3-7, but that's not a sure thing. I think it's just hard to make a move in either direction, given that they're kind of on the fence right now. And also given what they've done in terms of already giving up draft picks and kind of Adam Peters having a long-term view of building this thing. I think it's unlikely as of right now. Could that change a week from now? Sure. But as you asked me here on whatever it is, yeah, Wednesday morning.
They'll have two games. They'll have the Kansas City and Seattle games before the deadline. The deadline is Tuesday, November 4th, Election Day. Tuesday, November 4th is the deadline, and they'll have two more games in hand. And, yeah, they could be 3-6, and they could be looking to move somebody like Daron Payne, you know, for picks. Who knows? Thanks, Tom, for doing this. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
Tom Shad, everybody, from the Washington Post, now covering the team, an AU grad. So he was here for a while. We talked to him about his background when he first got into town a month or so ago, maybe. At @Tom_SCHAD. All right, when we come back, we'll do some NFL buy and sell. What are you buying right now in the NFL? What are you selling right now in the NFL? If you want to weigh in, 301-230-0980, we'll open up phone lines. I'll have a few buys and a few sells. Max will as well. A team, a player, a concept. I've got one that I'll be buying that has nothing to do with a team or a player in this year's season. We'll do that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.